The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us. This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling. Today we are with Father James Mayer, and Father is from Cleveland, got a lot of schooling outside of the Cleveland area, a Mercedarian father. Father, first of all, welcome to The Rock.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
You're currently the pastor at St. Rocco's.
Yes, I am.
Now, that's where you grew up.
That is my home parish. My family was there. Originally, we were at Blessed Sacrament on the west side, and my parents were adamant about Catholic kindergarten back in 1970, and so St. Rocco's was the only parish that had Catholic kindergarten. And so my parents enrolled myself and then my brother at St. Rocco's with the intention that we would go back to Blessed Sacrament.
Okay.
And because we were very happy there with the priest and the community. But as the time went on, and then, you know, you go from first grade to second grade, make your first communion, and you got to let your, you know, have the other one make the first communion, and then there's confirmation, and then your altar boys, and then mom and dad got involved in the parish and PTU, and we never left.
Yeah. They made that mistake at my parish growing up, an Italian parish.
Uh-huh.
Money was getting tight, so they cut kindergarten.
Oh.
Well, then once the kids started at the public school, more of them stayed at the public school.
Sure.
And it might have been better to cut the eighth grade and have them go to the junior high, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's so important to have these kids early. And
That simplest things like that really attract or can make people move on, you know, when it comes to education. When they're set and they have those priorities, that's important. That's it.
Tell me about your vocation.
My vocation. Well, it really goes back to when I was a little boy at St. Rocco's in kindergarten and first grade. One of the friars, one of the Mercedarian friars, he was a brother, and he would come and teach us religion. And he was about 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And so when you're a little kid about, you know, 3 feet tall,
yeah,
you're looking at this 6 foot giant in the white habit, and he taught us religion and gave us medals of Our Lady of Mercy. And that was the first hint that, you know, I wanted to be like him. I had a very good Catholic upbringing in my family, not just my parents, but my grandmother, my great aunts, and my uncles, my cousins, very devout Catholics, and devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Devotion was important. And then, you know, we prayed the family rosary growing up, and my parents were active, as I said, in the parish. So that kind of instilled a lot. You were familiar with the friars. They were ever so friendly and ever so kind. And then I just enjoyed being around them and started working there, volunteering, even as a young teenager. And it goes from there. So it was in my junior, senior year in high school. I went to Holy Name High School. And Father Mark Hollis, who this year is celebrating his 50th jubilee as a priest. And he was the chaplain at Holy Name. And so I went to him to talk. And then he helped me to come to understand and discern what God was calling me to. And at first, I didn't want to be a priest. I wanted to just be a friar, a brother.
Right.
And I did not feel worthy to be a priest. But Father Hollis helped. And then Father John Cregan.
Oh, wonderful guy.
He was a wonderful man, wonderful man. And he was friends with my father from when they were teenagers and working at the asphalt company. Anyway, Father Cregan and Father Hollis, they both wanted me to become a priest for the Diocese of Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I just could not at that time. It was around 1982, 1983. And I couldn't find myself living by myself.
Yeah.
Because already you could see where the diocesan priesthood was going, that that some priests were going to be already living by themselves in a parish. And I thought, that's not what I was so accustomed to and comfortable with. And so I went to the friars.
You needed the brotherhood.
Yes. Yeah. And so I was accepted, and then I waited a year. I went to Tri-C and worked in retail, and as well as volunteering at the parish. And then it was in 1984 that I actually entered the friars and went to Philadelphia, studied there at St. Charles Seminary in Overbrook. And then after novitiate, returned to Philadelphia. And then from Philadelphia, they sent me to Rome to study for postgraduate studies.
Right.
And then when I completed that, after I was ordained, then I was sent to Buffalo. I'm not a fan of Buffalo, but...
I went to school up in that area. So snow.
Yeah. So we had our novitiate in Mother House there at the time. And I was appointed the novice master, where I served as novice master for 3 years. And then I was given another assignment in a parish and hospital chaplain, and then back in formation again in Philadelphia. And I was there in formation in Philadelphia for 12 years. And then in 2012, they sent me here to Cleveland, and that's the rest is history.
Yeah. Kind of an unusual route from the standpoint that being from Cleveland, being an order priest, you could be anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But here you are.
Well, and you know, when we enter, that was really something instilled in any of us who came from a local area of one of our houses or parishes, that the chances of you being assigned back to your local area, your mm-hmm. district, or whatever you want to call it, the city, we're very slim. You know, you can't guarantee that you'll ever be stationed back there. You go home for vacation a few weeks out of the year. But so I had it in my mind that I would never be at St. Rocco's, and I was content and accepting about the whole situation. So when they asked me to go to St. Rocco's, I really was in shock.
I bet.
And, you know, the late Cardinal Kroll always had a saying, never to seek nor shirk any responsibility. And okay. So I really looked up to Cardinal Kroll when I was a young man.
The Cleveland guy.
Yes, yes. And he was also friends with my great aunts and uncles when he was, you know, from the Polish, mm-hmm. Polish you know, well, just the Polish community, and they knew each other. So I always looked up to him, and was a thrill to meet him when I did. But not to seek nor shirk. And so when they asked me to go to St. Rocco's, I thought, well, all right, I'll mm-hmm. go. And it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
So. It's a wonderful parish. It is. Such tradition
it's
going back.
It's very rich in tradition.
So long mm-hmm. and delightful folks down there.
Yes, yes.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about that, because I love talking about St. Rocco's.
Okay.
Stay tuned. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back right after these messages on God Calling. Father James Mayer joining us on God Calling, the pastor at St. Rocco's here in Cleveland, and as well a Mercedarian friar. Father, your call to the brotherhood, the order, as opposed mm-hmm. to becoming a diocesan priest.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit. You needed the brotherhood. You didn't want to live alone. And
correct.
Being around others of such faith has mm-hmm. got to help your own faith.
Almost certainly. You know, living with brothers in community. The community life is a great form of joy, but it also a great form of penance, because you're living with other men, or if you're in the convent, you're living with other women that mm-hmm. you're not related to each other. And 9 out of 10 times, you wouldn't have chosen to live with them. And we joke about that because
it's true.
especially with myself, I'm the superior. And so when they asked me, you know, what we'd like to send this brother to live with you, or that brother to live with you, or when I was in formation with the students, these young men coming from different backgrounds that you're not aware of, and just trying to get that sense of communal respect, gelling with each other, learning from each other, but also growing in holiness. And that's the key. Many times, you know, the gift of patience, endurance, much like married life,
yeah,
I think.
That's where I was going with it.
So I'm sure my brothers would say that I'm difficult to live with too. So, but I do think we have a very good sense of community. Many people have always told us that they're impressed by how joyful our brothers are when they see us together. And that's not a front. That's not a facade. That's real. We, even though we may not always agree with each other, or we don't see eye to eye, or we have different perspectives and things, but when we sit down for prayer and in our meals, we're able to talk and laugh and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. The you became a brother, friar. Yeah,
yes.
When then did you decide to pursue it farther?
So it was at
the priesthood.
When I wanted to become just a brother, and I shouldn't say just a brother, because a brother's vocation is extremely important in the church. It was a year that I took to pray and kept in contact with Father Cregan and Father Hollis. And I just came to an understanding. It was a Holy Thursday evening at St. Rocco's, and we had just finished the Mass at the Last Supper, and we were having the parish holy hour. And that's when it struck me. There was a particular prayer that I had been praying, and all of a sudden the priest out of nowhere offered that prayer. Hmm. And I had been asking the Lord, let me know what I should do, what I should do. My own grandmother, I told her I wanted to be a brother, and she's like, no, you're going to be a priest. And I said, no, Baba, I have to be a brother. I can't be a priest. She said, you're going to be a priest. And I blame her, because she had some revelation that I was supposed to be a priest, and God let me know I was supposed to be a priest. So then I spoke to the vocation director for the order. It was Father Jerome Laubacher at the time, and everything went well. And I think it's important to, when you're trying to discern, how do you know that God has really called you to this, do the doors keep opening? Mm-hmm. You know, is the light green? You know, you're going from one step to the next. And my mother always said, she said, look, give it a year. Give it a year, give it a year, give it a year. Don't just, you know, walk away after a month or two. You know, you gotta be mature about this. Give it a year. And so I did. And from year after year after year, and then finally it's like, well, wait a minute, you know what? This is real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make your final vows, then you're ordained a deacon, then you're ordained a priest, then you go to work.
Yes. Did your parents introduce the idea of religious vocation to children as much today as maybe when I was a kid?
I see it with younger parents.
Hmm.
The younger parents are not afraid to say to their little boys or little girls, you know, when maybe you'll be a priest, or mm-hmm. maybe you'll be a sister.
That's encouraging.
And especially with homeschool families, you see that quite a bit. So okay. I think that there is a good future. You know, there's much hope that God will continue to call, and from these young children, you know, there will be great priests and religious in the church. But younger families, younger parents, I see them inviting.
The medals were important to you, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did read the fellow's name. It was Father Richard Henry.
Yes.
Handed out the medals.
Yes, he did.
Is that something
yes.
you saved? Do you have stuff
I still like have
that?
The medal. Yes,
yeah.
I do. I keep it in my nightstand in my room. And it was an old-fashioned medal of Our Lady Mercy that the parish had been giving out. And he just gave them to the little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept that medal. We don't have any more of that medal, but we have other medals now. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I have all my old report cards. And my wife says I save too much stuff. And all the comments weren't great from the good sisters. In any case, tell me about the charism of the Mercedarian Order.
Well, we are a ransoming order founded in 1218, Barcelona, Spain. And our founder, St. Peter Nolasco, he was a merchant by trade. And he was already ransoming, buying back Christians from the Muslims. Who were, they were enslaving them because we used them for, you know, slave trade, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And
so literally ransoming.
Yes. So Peter Nolasco did that, and then he was inspired. He had an inspiration from the Blessed Virgin Mary and to found a religious order for her son. And so he did that, and he went to the Bishop of Barcelona, and from that point on, then there was the foundation of the order and the profession of vows, and then receiving the habit. And then this band of followers with Peter Nolasco, they began that great work there in Barcelona in the Mediterranean. And it was buying back Christians from the Muslims. And if the Christians did not apostatize, give up their faith in Jesus Christ, they would be killed. So it was, you know, either be killed or become a Muslim.
Yeah.
And so Peter Nolasco, he believed that our faith is the greatest jewel, the greatest gift we have, our faith. and therefore to give his life then, even when there wasn't enough money, enough to exchange, to give our lives in exchange for the freedom of these Christians.
800 years later, you're still here.
We are, yes, yes. I believe it's mostly because of the inspiration of the Blessed Mother. And we have that in our constitutions to understand what are the forms of captivity today is always through the inspiration of Our Lady of Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many today, whether it be drugs or political.
Oh, everything, yes.
Yeah. Well, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back, joined by Father James Mayer from St. Rocco's. We'll be back on God Calling right after this. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us. This is Paul Orlowski. I'm with Father James Mayer from St. Rocco's. Father, talk a little bit about St. Rocco's. Long, long history there. A parish much like the one that I grew up in, which was at the time an Italian parish built by the parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the history of St. Rocco's.
Well, yeah, you know, St. Rocco's is extremely unique in the sense that the community of people living there in that neighborhood on Trent Avenue off of Fulton and Clark, that they actually started their own kind of parish or community on their own. So it goes back to 1914, the community was there, and that's when they started to celebrate the Feast of St. Rocco, just their own street fair. And then they originally wanted to raise funds to send it back to Italy to their relatives and family members friends in Italy. And little by little, then they started to keep it for themselves for their own needs. It was in 1922 that community then is established as a parish by Archbishop Schrems. So 1922, it was established as a parish, even though it had been around since 1914. So we celebrated 100 years of our festival.
The festival's older
than 2014, because the festival is older than the parish.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what makes it unique. The festival and the community celebrating the patron saint is older than the actual canonical parish.
Mm-hmm.
So 1914 to 2014, we celebrated 100 years of the Feast of St. Rocco. Now this year, 1922 to 2022, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the parish.
Now, are you Italian?
I am not Italian, no. That's the part of the unique thing as well. When my family came to the parish in 1970, the pastor then, Father Andrew Costanzo, he welcomed us into the parish, even though we were not Italian. We were one of those first families that was not Italian being welcomed into that very strong, still Italian community.
Mm-hmm.
But my family is of Polish and German descent background.
The neighborhood's changing. There's no question about that.
Yes.
How does that challenge you?
Well, you know, when you look at the history of the parish, they built the school and the second church in 1926. Then they built the third church in 1949 to 1952. By the middle of the 1950s, you already saw people leaving the neighborhood and moving to Parma and outside, you know, south and west and east. Then you had another flight in the 70s. And then the real, I guess, nail in the coffin for that neighborhood was in the 90s when the majority then that had stuck to it, they moved out of the neighborhood. So the neighborhood is I'd say maybe a handful of old Italian families that still live in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone that has moved away, whether they're in North Royalton or Strongsville or Hinckley or Avon or wherever they've gone to, they still come back on the weekends for Sunday Mass or the different organizations and clubs that they belong to, and also for the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still that connection.
That says a lot, though, about the
most definitely
the love that they have for the parish, for you, and for all who serve there.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
They still do the greased pole.
We still have
at the festival.
Yes, we
I haven't been there in a few years.
Well, since the pandemic,
yes,
we haven't had a festival. We haven't had a greasy pole, and at the present moment, our building needs to be demolished, the old building, because it's in a stage of collapse. And there's a whole process right now. So that once that building can be demolished and the parking lot and everything is safe and secure, then we will have a festival again.
Now, that's the sanctuary that has to be?
It would have been the school building.
Okay.
That was built in 1926. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the second church and the school.
Okay. The Father Cregan, you mentioned, just a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
How important is somebody like that encouraging you, talking to you
as you go
through the steps? And how do you emulate that with younger folks?
Father Cregan would, So when he would drive around the neighborhood, so we lived right down the street from Blessed Sacrament, and you know your kids playing in the street, riding your bikes or anything, and then Father Cregan would come down in his car, and the window would be open, and if he saw you, he'd honk the horn and wave, and everyone would be waving back to him, or we'd be riding our car, we'd ride our bike trying to keep up with his car and that sort of thing. You just looked forward to seeing the pastor, you know, Father Cregan.
Out and about.
Yes, yes. Or if he was walking down the street, he'd say hello to everybody. It was just, you know, it was like the bells of St. Mary's almost with Bing Crosby. But I think that's so important to make that connection, even in moments of off hours, so to speak, from the parish administration when you're out to greet and to reach out to young people and especially the children. And it's so important. Wherever I'm walking in between the school building and the parish office or on the grounds and the kids are out there and they'll shout out, hey, Father James. And I always make it a point to wave to them or go up to them and just to say hi. Or if I'm driving the car, you know, honk the horn and wave to them. And those little moments like that make a difference in their lives. As well as ours, but in their lives, because they're connected then to the priest and their parish identity.
The priest is not some untouchable standing off away from of the people, I suppose, or among the people.
Right.
Yeah, that was very important. I think there was a time, maybe back when I was real young, that they're maybe a little more untouchable than today.
Aloof, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, could be. Yeah. My mother had two voices. One was if the priest was on the phone, she'd get this real reverent voice, or if Dr. Bartlett was on the phone.
Okay.
Oh, yes, we called her Dr. Bartlett voice. She had a rough bunch of kids, five of us. As somebody thinking about a vocation right now, what would you say to them?
I would say to them, continue to think about it, to pray about it, and not to be afraid to talk to a priest about it. To just say, hey, Father, you know, do you have a minute? I really believe that that's the most important thing, that being able to have that opportunity to talk about it. Because I think young people today might think, just as I did, you know, almost 40 years ago, I'm not worthy. And there was one thing Father Cregan taught me. He said, no one's worthy.
Wow.
He would just say to me, he said, Jim, he said, none of us are worthy. Always remember that.
Yeah, that's deep.
And when he told me that, it hit me because I thought, wow, this is Father Cregan saying this to me.
Well, probably one of the most approachable men I've ever met.
Oh, my gosh. Really? What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah, exactly. So. Well, Father, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
If people want to know more about the parish, is there a website or someplace?
We have a website, St. Rocco Parish. It's very simple.
That's very simple.
St. Rocco Parish, Cleveland, Ohio. You just hit that and Google it and you pop up. You get our bulletin and all the information of the different events and even the different links with the school and so forth. So.
Great.
And we have a Facebook page, too.
Well, you got all the modern
accoutrements. Well, I don't think we're into Twitter and tweeting or whatever that is, but we have Facebook and a website.
You're getting there. You're there.
Yeah.
Father, thanks so much. Father James Mayer joining us from St. Rocco is a Mercedarian friar. Father, thank you. And folks, thank you for joining us. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. We hope to see you back next week at the very same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.